All right, Jabosai, good morning. Good morning. Let us begin. We'll begin by thanking our sponsors for this morning's shiur. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Adar, the Lerner Mishpacha, for dedicating all of the shiurim and drashos in memory of their matriarch, Mrs. Dina Lerner Gerber. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, her neshama will have an aliyah and the family a nechama. To thank, we have two sponsors for the week of learning, Paul and Kathy Pollock, in memory of Paul's grandparents, Zecharia ben Avram and Dina Bas Pesach. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the neshama will have an aliyah and the family a nechama. And to thank Jack Bennett for dedicating the shiurim this week in memory of Tat Aluf Erez Gerstein, who commanded the IDF's Lebanon liaison unit and was killed by Hezbollah in southern Lebanon on February 28, 1999. From 1995 to 1997, Erez led the Golani Brigade in a series of operations against Hezbollah in southern Lebanon to protect our northern border. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Erez Gerstein's neshama, together with all those who have fallen defending Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, will have an aliyah. And both with that, let us begin. So today's daf is Nun Ches 58. We are picking up on Nun Zayin on base 57b. And we are picking up at the two dots. Haro Makum Shenekra Mimenu Avodas Gilulim. It is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 lines of the Bible. So just while everyone's here, two quick announcements. First of all, a week from today is the Siyum. Emirat Hashem is going to be a beautiful event. The information all went out on the WhatsApp. So if you could just make your reservations sometime soon, that would be wonderful. Also, I sent out last night, if you are being Messiah, Meseches Brachas, thank you to all of those who already did respond. But if you could just email me so that we have your name. We actually have a beautiful poster coming that's going to list all of the Messiahim. That's very special. Also a source of nachas for your mishpachos that they'll be able to see it. So please just make sure to email me in the next day or so if you are in fact being a Messiah. Both of that, let us begin. Malkum Shnekrum and Avodas Gilulim. So most remember again, the Mishnah spoke about the idea that if you happen to pass by a place where there was once Avodah Zorah, once idolatry, but idolatry was uprooted. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, Haru Amarkulis, Omer Baruch Shenasan Erech Apayim Lo'ovei Ritzono. This is so beautiful. If someone sees Markulis, someone sees this Avodah Zorah, so there's a bracha that you make. Obviously not a bracha over the Avodah Zorah, but a bracha that says, Blessed are you Hashem, who has an incredible amount, Shenasan Erech Apayim, literally who has, delays his anger, has patience for those who go ahead and violate his will. He'll say the incredible yisod that you would think that, again, the way it works, the person is Oved Avodah Zarah, which is the greatest theological, spiritual affront. God would exact immediate and swift punishment, yet he doesn't. He gives the opportunity for people to do tshuva. Makum Shenekram in Avodah Kochavim. If you see a place where there was once idolatry, but the idolatry was uprooted, Omer Baruch Sha'akar Akum Me'artzenu. So he makes the bracha, Blessed are you Hashem, who has uprooted idolatry from our land. Ukashim Shenekra Mimakom Ze, and the same way that idolatry has been uprooted from here, Kein Te'akar Mekal Mekomos Yisrael, so too shall it be uprooted from all places of the Jewish people. Vashev Lev Ovdeim Li'avdecha, and literally return the hearts of those who worship idolatry to worship Yuakodesh Baruch Hu. That's the bracha you make in Eretz Yisrael. Ubechutz La'aretz Ein Tarach Lomer Vahashiv Lev Odeim La'avdecha. But outside of the land of Israel, you don't have to add that last part of the bracha and return the hearts of those who worship idolatry to worship you. Why? Mipnei Sheruba Ovdei Kochavim. Because in Chutz La'aretz, again, the assumption is that if you're finding idolatry in Eretz Yisrael, or uprooted idolatry in Eretz Yisrael, the idea is whoever was worshipping it, the Pashtos was Jewish. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, they're Ovdei Kochavim, they're Gentiles, and therefore, again, you don't have to add in that last part of return their hearts to serve you. Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, Af B'chutzar Tzarech Lomar Kein, Rav Shimon Elazar says, no, even Eretz Yisrael used this suffix, why? Mipnei Sha'asidim L'Hisgayer, because when Mashiach comes, everyone is going to convert. Shinei Amar, As Hapochel Am Safa Berura. We'll say, now, of course, in this context, conversion doesn't literally mean conversion. In fact, the Gemara says, when Mashiach comes, we will no longer accept Gerim. Interestingly enough, Mashiach comes, Gemara says two times, when Shlom Melech was king, we didn't accept Gerim, and Mashiach comes, we won't accept Gerim. So when you hear Gerus in this context, it means a conversion to monotheistic thought, but not necessarily, ultimately, again, not an actual physical conversion. Gerim, did you find your Gemara? Yes? No. We'll say, just if anyone, if you happen to have one of the Dafyomi travel art scroll Gemaras, yeah. No, I think it's a shul one. It should have, Yair, has your name in it? It has an inscription.
Yeah, it has a letter.
It has a letter in it. So if you have a Gemara that has an inscription from a woman who's not your mother, then ultimately it's not your Gemara. Right? And if you could just, and it says, so if you could just, yeah, here, right, is the individual sitting right over here. He's also the only member of our Daf Yomi Shir who could dunk a basketball. Right? And I've seen the video. I've seen, Shalom, I'm sorry, Shalom. And Gil, I'm sorry. All right. I guarantee you he's more graceful than both of you. That's what I was going to say, all right? But if, on a serious note, or if you happen to see around the basement, Joshua has been missing his Gemara for a couple of days. So if anybody comes across it, please return it to him. Rav Darsham Hamnuna. Haroa Bavel HaRasha. Tzarech Levari Chamish Brachas. Rav Hamnuna says, if someone sees the evil Babylonian Empire, there are five brachas that are made. So we'll say, we're going to see what those five brachos are. Ra'a Bavel, if one sees Bavel. Now, the context that Gemara is giving over here is, you're seeing Bavel destroyed. That's the idea, meaning you're seeing Bavel after it's fallen from its glory. Omer Baruch Shehechriv Bavel HaRasha. You say Baruch Hashem, right? You make the bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he destroyed the evil Babylonian Empire. Ra'a Bezos on Nebuchadnezzar. If you see the home of Nebuchadnezzar, Omer Baruch Shehechriv Bezos on Nebuchadnezzar HaRasha. Ra'a Gov Shalarayos. If you saw the lion's den where Daniel was cast into, O Kiv Shanaish, or the fiery furnace that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were cast into, Omer Baruch Sha'asa Nisim La'abosinu B'makom Hazeh. Then again, you go back to the bracha that you recite when ultimately, again, miracles have been performed for Klal Yisrael in a particular place. Ram Markulis, if you see the Avodah Zarah Markulis, Omer Baruch Sha'nasan Erech HaPayim La'over Yisrael. That's what we saw before. Blessed are you, Hashem, who has infinite compassion, even with those who transgress your will. Ra'a Makom Shenotlin Mimenu Afar. If you see the place from where they go ahead and take dirt. So Rashi gives two explanations of what this means. We'll go with the second explanation, that there are places of Babel that essentially are rendered uninhabitable. And the only thing that those places were useful for was their dirt. So this was a sign of the desolation and destruction of Babel. So if you see a place like this, Omer, Baruch Omer va'oseh gozer mekayim. Blessed are you, Hashem, who says and does, decrees, and it is upheld. Rava, Kavachazi Chamri Deshakli Afra, when Rava would see donkeys going ahead and bringing dirt from this place, Tariv Lehu Yoda Al Gabayu, he would slap his hand on the back of the donkey, and he would say, run, Tzadikim, speaking to the donkeys, run, righteous animals who are going to fulfill the will of their Creator. Marbre Dravina, Kevamati Labal, and Marbre Dravina would come to Babel, Havashakil Afra Bistudre. He would go ahead and take dirt in his turban, Vishadi Libra, and then he would throw it onto the ground. The Kaima Shinemar, Vita'ata Seb, Mitata Hashmed. Literally, again, you've swept away Babel in a state of destruction. So the idea is when he comes to Babel, he would go ahead and throw dirt on the ground, symbolizing the idea that the Babylonian Empire had been reduced to dirt. Amar Vashi. Ravashi said, you know, I didn't hear any of these statements of Rav Hamnuna with all of these various brachas. But intuitively, I always made all of these brachas. Beautiful. Top of Nunches. I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar. Niskalkul of Bavel, niskalkul u'shcheinah. When Bavel was cursed, or is really when Bavel was destroyed, so the destruction ultimately, again, was felt in the neighboring areas as well. Niskalkul u'shomron, but when the Shomron, right, when Eretz Yisrael, which was Shomron, remember, was Malchus Yisrael. When Malchus Yisrael was destroyed, Nisbarchu Shcheinah. Ultimately, again, its neighbors were blessed. We'll say this happens to be the inverse relationship that exists between Klal Yisrael and the nations of the world. The Gemara most prominently discusses this with almost like the seesaw effect between Yisrael and Rome. Eretz Yisrael and Rome. Right? If someone tells you that Caesarea and Yerushalayim are both destroyed, don't believe them. But if Caesarea is built, Yerushalayim is destroyed, Caesarea is built, then you could believe. This idea is that when Babel was destroyed, the neighboring countries suffered as well. But ultimately, when the Shomron was destroyed, the destruction of Klal Yisrael benefits the neighboring people. So the Gemara says, "Dichsev v'samtia l'morish kapod v'agmi mayim." So the Gemara quotes on the pasuk of Yeshaya. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, "Over kasa v'kapot chayos v'ofos roim u'mazikim asashrinim." So the idea is that when Bavel was overrun, so wild animals overtook everything. So wild animals don't only impact Bavel, but impact the surrounding countries as well. Versus when it comes to v'samtila morid kapod v'agmimayim niskalkul shomron esbarachol shchina d'chsev v'samti shomron la'aya sadel matekarem. That when Shomron was destroyed, it was laid into fertile fields. Everything was destroyed, but the fields themselves remained fertile. So you see this idea that ultimately, again, which obviously benefited the conquering nations. So when Shomron was destroyed, the other nations benefited from it. Va'amar Rav Hamnuna, Haro Uchlesi. So we'll see that she a beautiful Gemara. If someone sees Uchlesi, Rashi says, what's Uchlesi? Chel Gadol Shoshishim Revo. If you see a very large gathering of Jews, now in this context, large gathering actually defines as 600,000 people. If you see 600,000 people together, Omer Baruch Chacham Harozim. You say, blessed are you, Hashem, who is the wisest one, for he is the knower of secrets. And we'll see, it's actually quite a dramatic Gemara. What it's saying is like this. When you see a great number of Jews together, and you recognize that although there is a certain level of unity, because we're all part of the same people, all part of the same nation, but yet each and every person is a world unto himself, right? Each and every person has his own thoughts, his own dreams, his own aspirations. So when you look out at this sea of people, all you see is a sea of people. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to know the thoughts and the dreams and aspirations of every single individual. So that's the bracha you make when you see a group of 600,000 Jews or more. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Chacham HaRozim. The knower of secrets. Ochlese Ovdei Kochavim, if you see a great gathering of idolaters, Omer Busha Imchem. So I'll say, ultimately, you see this bracha, this statement from Yirmiyahu, Bushi Imchem, you are an embarrassment to your mother, right? The idea being, I'll say, so again, understand, this is not stop talking about non-Jews. That's why we're very specific. It's Ovdei Kochavim. It's idolaters. Tan Rabbanon. Haro Ochlese Yisrael. If one sees a throng of Jewish people, and again, remember, Rashi is defining this as 600,000. Omer Baruch Chacham HaRozim. Now here, Abbas Sevi Gemara gives an elongated form of the bracha. Bracha Zashon Kirim Alacholam, Chacham HaRozim, the wise one who knows all secrets, She'in Daitam Zomazelazah, because their das, right, literally their knowledge, but more like their disposition, one is not similar to the other. Ve'in Pir Tzofeyem Domazelazah, the same way no one looks like one another. That's the elongated form of the bracha. Ben Zoma, Ra Uchlasa Agav Maila Laharabai. So let's listen to this beautiful Gemara. So Ben Zoma once saw a very large gathering of Jews while standing on top of Harabais. Omar, Baruch Chacham HaRozim. So he said this bracha, blessed are you Hashem, the wise one who knows secrets. Ubaruch Shebara Kol Elu L'Sham Sheni. And blessed are you Hashem, who created all of these to go ahead and serve me. What is this bracha? If you look at Rashi L'Sham Sheni, Shem Charshim V'Zorim V'Ani Motzi Muchan. Ben Zoma was praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Ribono Shel Olam created a world in which he doesn't have to labor so much, and everything is kind of just brought to him. So now the Gemara explains the source of this bracha. This is actually a beautiful thought. Hu Haya Omer, so Ben Zoma used to say, how much effort did Adam Rishon have to put in order to get a loaf of bread? What did he have to do? Charash v'zara v'katzar v'amar v'dash v'zara bara v'tachan v'hekder v'lash v'afa v'achakach achol. Right, so what did Adam Rishon have to do? Adam Rishon, he had to plow the field and plant and harvest and do all of these different things and grind the wheat and bake it, and then he was finally able to eat. Vani Mashkim umotzi kol elu mitukan lefanai. So Ben Zoma says, and me, what do? I wake up, and what? It's on the table. And we'll say, if you think about this, it's an incredible level of akara satov that each of us could have as well. Because of course, I'm sure we all work hard for various things. But the notion, the amount of effort that sometimes comes into the things that are right there and prepared before us. How much did Adam HaRishon have to do for a loaf of bread, and it's that very loaf of bread ultimately again that sits right before us. The Gemara goes weiter. How much effort did Adam Rishon have to put in order to have an article of clothing? Gazaz, he had to shear, v'leban, he had to clean the wool, v'nafatz, he had to comb it, v'tava, v'arak, he had to weave it, v'achakach, matza be'agil lobosh, v'ani, mashkim umotzi kol eilu mitukarna lefonai. So Ben Zoma was just acknowledging his incredible level of gratitude for having things in life that require a lot of effort, but he didn't have to put in the effort. Someone else was putting in the effort, and he was able to enjoy the results of the day. Rabbi say, it's an incredible yisod in general for Akaras HaTovim. There are so many things that we have. You know, they say, Rav Shach, in the beautiful Agarba, Rav Shach, Zechetat Gimach, Zerashi Vapanovich, Rav Shach had one shirt. So he would say over that on Thursday nights, this is in Europe, and Thursday nights he would go up to the rooftop of the yeshiva and he would clean his shirt, L'Kavod Shabbos, but he didn't want to go into the Beis Medrash without a shirt. So he would sit on the rooftop until the shirt dried. This was true in the winter. This was true in the summer. He was just, one shirt. I would say, so whether you have a limited or expansive wardrobe, all of us have more than one shirt. It's an incredible, incredible thing that cars that we have to have for the little things we have in life. We so often spend so much time focusing on the stuff we lack, focusing on what we don't have, that we forget to express profound hakaras hatov for the basic things that we do have. That's what Ben Zoma was saying. The Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, "Vani meshkim otzi kol imut kana lefanai." Not only that, but call umo shoktos ubaos lepesach beisi. Vani meshkim umotzi kol lefanai. Havzi Ben Zoma is very wealthy. See, he said, you know, every morning I wake up, and all of the merchants are by my doorstep, ready to bring anything and everything I need to me. Hu Ya Omer used to say, Bo says another beautiful idea. Ya Omer, Oreach Tov Mahu Omer. What does a good guest say? Kamatirchos tarach balabayis bishvili. Look at this beautiful, look at all the tirchos, look at all of this effort that the balabayis, my host, expended for me. Kama basar hevi lefanai, kama yain hevi lefanai, kama gluskos hevi lefanai. V'chol ma'asha tarach, lo tarach ela bishvili. I will say, so a good guest understands all of the effort that his host put into this. Aval oreach ra, but a bad guest, Mahu Omer, what does he say? Mat oreach tarach balabayis, my host didn't do so much. Pas achas achad, he only ate one little chalerol. Right? So kos echad shasis, he only drank one cup of wine. Kol tarach shatarach balabayis, ze lo tarach ela bishil ishto ubanav. The guest really, right, my host didn't do so much. I was just like a bystander, right? He would have done the same thing if I wasn't there, because everything he did it for his wife, he did it for his children. Al oreach tov ma omer, zachar kitaski palo asher shor anashim. Al oreach ra ksiv lachin yiru anashim. I will say, so just so you understand the incredible muster in this as well, what applies ultimately, again, for the person who has you over for Shabbos, halachas kama v'kama, applies for your wife as well. Right, we'll see how much a person has to have a karas atov to a wife who puts in so much effort into preparing a Shabbos, into preparing a home, into preparing a suda. So sometimes you think, well, it's just common. She has to eat also. The kids have to eat also. It's not for me. So remember again, an oreach tov, a good visitor. And we're all an oreach. Each of us is just a visitor in the house. That's the way to look at things in life, and it heightens a certain level of appreciation for everything that a wife, for everything that people in a household do. So the Mar goes weiter. Va'ish v'mei shol zakin baba anoshim. So the pasuk says, and there was a man in the days of Shaul. He was was older, and he used to baba anoshim. He would come with people. Amar avitim rav zavid itim rav oshia ze yishai avi David. This refers to Yishai, the father of David. Shiyatsa bo'ochlusa. He traveled, he went out with great throngs of people. The Nichnas Bochlasa, he came into the city with great throngs of people, the Darshbox, and he would teach Torah to great throngs of people as well. But Yishai, the father of David, we'll say the connection over here is just the Gemara is talking about the bracha that you say if you see a great number of people. So the Gemara is just describing the greatness of Yishai is that he always traveled and always taught Torah to these great numbers of people. Amar Ula, Naktinan ain't Ochlasa Babel. That was actually an interesting halacha. Ula says that the bracha that we say over seeing a great throng of people, 600,000 people, does not apply in Bavel. Right? Ula says that the bracha over a great number of Jews is only in Eretz Yisrael, not in Bavel. The logic behind that, the Maharsha says, because ultimately, again, seeing a great number of Jews in diaspora is not bracha worthy, right? In fact, again, that breaks the heart that the Jews are not, that Am Yisrael is not in Eretz Yisrael. So again, it's always beautiful to see a great number of Jews, but the specific bracha is only said over Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Tana, ein ochlusa pchusim shishim rabo. Furthermore, the Gemara says over here that ochlusa is not less than 600,000. Tana abanon, haro chachmei Yisrael, if one sees Torah scholars, right? Torah scholars, chachmei Yisrael, or amar, baruch shechalak mechachmasa liyireyav. You say the bracha of Baruch Atah Shalom Kinu Melech Olam, shechalak mechachmasa liyireyav, who has given of his wisdom to those who fear him. To those who fear him. Special bracha for Chachmei Yisrael. Chachmei Ovdei Kochavim. What happens if you see wise people who are idolaters? Omer Baruch Shenasa Mechachmoso Libriosav. So we'll say, so you hear the distinction? By Chachmei Yisrael, it's he's given his wisdom liyireyav, to those who fear him. Obviously, idolaters don't fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baharai, they're worshipping idolatry. But nevertheless, you must recognize and appreciate the wisdom they possess. So the brachos who has given his wisdom, libriosav, to his creations. Hara Malchei Yisrael, if one sees Jewish kings, Omer, Baruch Shechalak Michvodo Liyireyav, you say, blessed are you Hashem, who has given from his honor, to those who fear him. So the idea is that when you see a king, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate melech. When you see a human king, or in this case, beginning a Jewish king, so some of God's honor has been diverted towards this person. So Baruch Shechalak Michvodo Liyireyav, conversely, Malchei Ovdei Kochavim, if you see a Gentile king, Omer Baruch Shenasan Michvodo Libriosav. See, when you see a non-Jewish king, again, it's an awesome sight, because again, what's happening over here? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately is allowing some of his monarchical honor to be diverted towards this non-Jewish king. Omer Yochanan, also you've seen this Gemara a number of times already. The Olam Yishtadal Adam Larutz Malchei Yisrael. Person should always run to try to greet Jewish monarchy. For lo likras malchei Yisrael bilvad, not only Jewish monarchy. So the Gemara says, Ela afil likras malchei ob bikochavim. But even Gentile monarchy. Shem yiske, because if you're zochet to ultimately see Mashiach, or go to Olam Haba and see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yavchin bein Malchei Yisrael and Malchei Ovdei Kochavim. You'll be, in our Zabot say, seeing Malchei Ovdei Kochavim will kind of give you a frame of reference, ultimately, again, for what true Malchus looks like. Rav Sheshes was an incredible Gemara. Rav Sheshes Saginar Haba. Rav Sheshes was blind. Rav Sheshes was blind. Havu Ka'azli Kuli Amal Kaula Ape Malka. Everyone was coming to go and greet the king. This was a Gentile king. They come Azl Bahadayi Rav Sheshes, and Rav Sheshes went along to go ahead and greet the king. Ashkechayahu Tztuki, there was a particular Tztuki who came along. And I will say, so understand that Tztukim only believed in Torah Shebichsav, not in Torah Shebalpeh. As such, you see that the Tztukim had a general disdain for rabbinic leadership. So this Tztuki sees Rav Sheshes coming to greet the king. Amarlei, Chatzbi Lenara Kagani Laya. So the Tztuki said to Rav Sheshes, you know, people only bring whole pitchers to take water from the river. No one ever brings broken pitchers, which is another way of saying, why are you coming to greet the king if you are blind? Right? What benefit will you get from seeing the king? So Rav Sheshes, you'll see, I know more about greeting the monarchy than you do. So we'll say, watch this. Chalov Gunda Kamaisa. So again, The first group of soldiers. So apparently the king doesn't just like roll in. There's a whole entourage that precedes him. So the first group of soldiers, the first group of soldiers come into town. So what happens? So Kika Avsha, when it became very loud, meaning marching, the soldiers came very loud, Amalei Utsduki Asamalka. So the Tzduki said, oh, the king is coming. Amalei Rav Sheshes Lo Ka'asim. No, king's not coming yet. Chalav Gudna Tinyana. Another group of soldiers came. Kiyav Shah, when it became very loud, Amalei Hutzduki, Hashtaka Asimalka. The king is certainly coming. So also, the Tztuki understood whenever it became loud, he thought that that was the sign that the king was coming. Amalei Rav Sheshes, Lo Kasi Malka. The king's not coming yet. Chalif Tlisai, third group of soldiers came. After a third group of soldiers, Kika Shaska, things became silent. Amir Rav Sheshes, Vaday Hashta Asi Malka. You're going to see the king is going to come now. Amar Lehu Tztuki Minna Lachaha. So the Tztuki said to Rav Sheshes, where do you know that from? Amar Lehu De Malchusa De Arake Malchusa De Rakia. That old earthly monarchy very much resembles heavenly monarchy. What does it say by heavenly monarchy? Dichsiv Tsei Va'amarata Barbo says the Pasik. In Malachim, Tsei Va'amarata Barbo Lefnei Hashem, Vini Hashem Over. Kishmach was going to pass by. Beruach Gidola V'chazak Mefarei Kar Meshaber Islam Lefnei Hashem. There's going to be a strong wind that's going to break mountains, break big stones. Lo Beruach Hashem. Va'achar HaRuach Rash. And after the wind comes, it's going to be great noise and earthquake. Lo Berash Hashem. After the earthquake is going to come fire. Lo be'esh Hashem. The achara esh kol demama daka. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not in the wind, and he's not in the earthquakes, and he's not in the fire. But Kadosh Baruch Hu is in the silent moment. Kol demama daka. So ultimately, again, Rav Shesha says that earthly monarchy is like heavenly monarchy. So when does the king come? Not after the loud marching of the soldiers. When everything is silenced, then the king comes. Kiyasa Malka, when the king came, Pasach Rasheshes Vakama Varechle, Rasheshes made a bracha. Right? Again, the Barach Shechalak Michvodoli, Libriosav, Amalehu Tzduki, Lemandelo Chazisle Kamavarachas. You don't see him, but yet you make a bracha. So it says at this point in time, so the Tzaduki was just being a nundik. Right now was being, meaning obviously he saw that Rav Sheshes understood things, Rav Sheshes perceived things, but yet again he would not stop disparaging Rav Sheshes. Oh my havi lado Tzaduki. So we'll say, so interestingly enough, you notice over here, Rav Sheshes doesn't respond. Why doesn't Rav Sheshes respond? So we'll say it's a good lesson in life. So sometimes people say things or ask things, but they don't really want an answer. They're just looking to talk. So the best thing you could do in those type of situations is not engage. Not engage. So when the Tzduki was asking his original question, Rav Sheshes responded. Now already at this point in time, Rav Sheshes realizes that the guy is just really trying to be mean-spirited and disparaging, and therefore Rav Sheshes simply does not respond to him. O my havadahu Tzduki, what happened to that Tzduki? Se'iket amri chabroi kal chinu le'ene. So some say that ultimately, again, his friends gouged out his eyes. Something must have happened. They gouged out his eyes. Others say Rav Sheshes literally, again, set his eyes upon this tzaduki, and this tzaduki became a pile of bones. The idea being that, don't start up with Rav Sheshes. I don't say, the idea being that, again, one disparages a Talmud Chacham, one disparages a Talmud, right? One disparages a Torah scholar. There are major repercussions for that. The individual died. Rav Shila Nagdelu Gavra Debamas. What's an incredible story. So Rav Shila administered lashes. He gave Malkus to a guy who had relations with a mitzris, an Egyptian woman. So this is a Jewish man who had relations with a non-Jewish woman, which is an Isser. Rav Shila flogged him. Gave him Malkus. Watch this. Azal achal be'kurtzei be'malka. So this Jew, the floggy, is that a word? Floggy? Right? Got me? No. Does it work? Good. Right? The guy who was flogged, right? So what happens? See, he gets upset. See, he goes to the king. So whether, I don't know who's in charge over here at this point. I don't know if this is Babylonian or Greek. He goes to the king. It sounds like, from Lashon later on, it sounds like it's the Caesar. He goes to the king. Achol be'kurtza, I'll say, achol be'kurtza literally means, like he went to eat kurtza, which was the expression of slander. It's the same Lashon, by the way, by the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. He went to slander Rav Shila to the authorities. Well, how did he slander him? Amar ika chad gavra b'yudai, dekadayin dina b'la hamina d'malka. One of the rabbis is dispensing judgment without permission of the king. In other words, so what this Jew was saying was like this. This guy, Rav Shila, he thinks that he's judge and jury, and he's not bending his knee to the judicial system of the country. See, he's kind of operating his own judicial system within your judicial system. So what happens? Shadar Alei Parsitka. So they sent an officer to investigate Rav Shila. Watch this. Kiyasa Amarle Mai Taima Nagarate Lahai. So when they came to Rav Shila, they said to Rav Shila, why did you flog this Jew? Amarle Deba Al Chamarta. Because he had relations with a donkey, right? He engaged in an act of bestiality. Amrile Issos. And again, Nebosi, we'll see where Rav Shila said this. Engaged in an act of bestiality. And that's why I fogged up. Amarlei, Giris Lechos, San Sitter of Shiloh, do you have any witnesses about this? Amarlei, Amarlo in. Rav Shiloh said, yes, I do. Asa Ilio Idmele Ki Inish Va'asid. Ilio Hanavi appeared like a person and testified about this guy that indeed he had relations with a donkey. Amarlei, Ihachi Barkitilus. Apparently, again, even the authorities, the secular authorities, agreed that bestiality was a crime punishable by death. So if that's the case, they said the guy is Chayiv Misa. Amr the Church of Shila said, Anna, miyoman de galina me arin, lesle rishuse le mikdal, asun madde ba'isun avida bay. So Rav Shila responded, you know, since we've been exiled from our land, we no longer hand down death sentences. But you, feel free to do with this guy whatever you want. So what happens? Adama aini bay badina, pasach Rav Shila v'amar, l'cha Hashem hagdula v'hagvura. So as they were investigating this guy, Rav Sheshes went ahead and began to say the pasuk, "Tiyu HaKadosh Baruch Hu is greatness and strength." We'll see what that pasuk has to do with anything in just a little bit. Amrlei, my kamrit. So I will say. So the officer hears Rav Shila saying this pasuk. So he says, "What's the meaning of this verse that you just said?" Amrlu Hachi Kamina. This is what I mean to say. Baruch Rachmanu Diyayev Malchusa Ba'arakein Malchusa Derakia. Blessed are you, Hashem, who has created an earthly monarchy which resembles the heavenly monarchy. And has created for us a system of government and a judicial system. So we'll say, so what happens? So the officer brings back his report. So the officer was very impressed because Rav Shila not only, again, is not operating his own judicial system, but what? Is actually exhibiting an incredible amount of respect for the judicial system of the land, for the Malchus. So Yoiv Le Kulfa. So I will say, they liked Rav Shila so much that they gave Rav Shila a staff. And they said to him, Amrlei, Don Dina. You now have permission from the government to adjudicate cases. So that staff was symbolic of the fact that Rav Shila had the power of the judiciary behind him. So what happened? So Kihava Nafik, Amrleyahu Gavra, Avud Rachmana Nisa Lashakri. So the guy, right, the flagi, right, the guy who was bald, the mitzvahs. So now what happens? He says, I don't understand. God performs miracles for liars. You told the officer that I engage in an act of bestiality, but I didn't do it. And Eliyahu HaNavi appeared and lied for you. Amrali Rasha, Lav Chamri Ikru. Are the Gentile nations not called Chamorim Dichsiv? Asher Basar Chamorim Bissaram. So interestingly enough, this is part of a larger motif that ultimately, again, that having relations with a non-Jew, again, based on the pasuk, is equivalent to the act of bestiality. Chazia de Ka'azi Lememralu. So what happened? So now this guy, right, the flagi, was now going to run after the officer and tell him, you see how the Jews think of you? Right, the Jews think of you as animals. So at this point in time, so the Gemara says, Amri Hai Rodefu. At this point in time, this individual has the status of a Rodef. The Torah Amra Imbala Hargicha Hashkem Lahargo. Remember, a Rodef is someone, right? Well, a Rodef is someone who wants to kill you. Right? In this case, really what this individual had the status of was a Moser. Right? A Moser is someone who inappropriately turns over Jews to a despotic government and puts, again, Jewish people at risk. Such a person has the din of a rodef, has the din of a pursuer, and the halacha of a pursuer, if someone's trying to kill you, you have the ability to go and kill them. I will say just a very important point about this, because the word moser is very, very, very often misused. A moser does not mean someone who calls the authorities, right? That's not a moser, right? A moser is someone, first of all, the din of Masira only applies with despotic governments. It does not apply with democratically elected and run governments. That's very important, right? And number two, it's done with someone who has an intention, ultimately put Klal Yisrael b'sakana. If Chas Hashem, someone sees a crime that is being committed, someone sees something wrong that is committed, so we live in a country with laws, and we live in a country where ultimately, again, one has an obligation to involve law enforcement. I just want to point out, because very often this is a very misunderstood concept. Here, Rav Shila understands that this guy is coming along and all he wants to do is get Klal Yisrael in trouble. And again, you're not dealing with a democratic government with a system of laws. You're dealing with a despotic government. Rav Shila realizes he is a Moser, he is a Rodev. So what does he do? He puts the staff to good use. Machye Bakulfa Bekatle. He hit the guy over the head with the staff and he killed him. Amar Holvis Avali Nisa Bahaikra Darishna Le. Now that a miracle happened to me while I was saying this pasuk, ultimately I'll darshan the miracle. Excuse me, darshan the pasuk. Locha Hashem Agdula. So we'll say, what does the pasuk mean? Tiyu Hashem as great as Zuma Sebereshes. V'cheinu Omer Oseg Gedolos Ad Cheker. Oseg Gedolos Ad Cheker. V'hag Gvura. What does it mean? Tiyu Hashem Baruch Hu with strength. Zu Yitzes. And this refers to the Exodus. Shneamar. V'ayar Yisrael Siyag Hagdola. V'atiferes. What does Tiferes refer to? Mostly just darshing the entire pasuk. Zu Chama Ulavana. This refers to the sun and the moon. Shamdalo Yoshua. That's stood still for Yoshua and Givon, Shnei Amar, Vayidom HaShemesh V'Yareach Amad, V'HaNetzach, success, Zuma Pavasa Shal Romi. This refers ultimately to the downfall of Rome, V'Chinu Omer, V'Yaz Nitzcham Abigadai, V'Hod, Zem Milchamas Nachali Arnon. Hod, this refers to the war of the Valley of Arnon. But remember again, we said this, I think it was beginning of last week, right? Of when Klal Yisrael was in the desert, the Amori wanted to launch a surprise attack. The mountains came together and crushed the Amorim as they were laying ambush for us. Shneemar al king yomer b'sir mechamos Hashem ve'esbehei basufa. Ki kol b'shayim v'aretz, you are everything in the heavens and the earth. Rabbi say this refers ultimately to the earth Amalek. In Yonad Yoma, Parsha Zachar this coming week. V'chinu Omer, Kiyad al Keis Yah. V'amisnasei, you are elevated. Zu milchemes Gog u'Magog. This refers to the war of Gog u'Magog. V'chinu Omer, Hinini Elecha Gog Nasi Rosh Meshach V'tuva L'chol Rosh. Amar Rav Chanan, Parava Amar Rav Yochanan, Afilu Resh Kar Gisan, excuse me, L'chol Rosh. So again, the drash over here is, Rav Chanan, Rav Sin, Rav Yochanan, Afilu Rosh Kar Gisa. Even the head of digging irrigation ditches. So I said, so the guy who digs irrigation ditches, it's not exactly like a position of major authority. Yet, again, there are people who work under him. Any position of authority, even if you're in charge of the digging of irrigation ditches, min shamayim manule. They understand any position of authority is appointed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Masnisa talim shed Rabbi Akiva, l'cha Hashem Agdula, Tziu HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all greatness, zu kriyas yamsuf. This refers to the splitting of the sea. Vagvura, zumakas bechoros. Vatiferes, zumatan Torah. Vahanitzach, zu Yerushalayim. Vahod, and what's the ultimate glory? Zu Beis HaMikdash. This refers ultimately to the Beis HaMikdash. Amud Beis. Tan Rabbanan. They both say a beautiful Gemara. Haroa bati Yisrael b'yishuvan. If one sees Jewish homes in a state of being built. So both say, we'll see what this means in just a moment. Omer Baruch Matziv Givul Amana. So we'll say, Bepashtos, what this means is, if you see Jewish homes that were destroyed and then were rebuilt, you say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Matziv Givul Amana, who returns the portion to the widow. Right, see, so Jewish homes that existed, then were destroyed, then were rebuilt. The restoring of the portion to the Amana. The Amana representing Klal Yisrael, still in a state of incompletion because the Beis HaMikdash is not yet rebuilt, but yet, again, the Amana getting something back. So the Gemara says, B'chorbanan, but if you see Jewish homes ultimately in a state of destruction, Omer Baruch Dayan HaEmes. Then you see the bracha of Dayan HaEmes. Rashi says over here, Baruch Matzev Givul HaMana, Kegon B'Yishuv Bayis Sheni. So Rashi understands this to mean as follows. If you see homes that were destroyed and then rebuilt during Second Temple Era, so he's referring to someone who's living during Second Temple Era, you say the bracha of Matzil Givul HaMana, Matziv Givul HaMana, returns literally the portion of the widow. Bate Ovdei Kochavim. If you say ultimately again the homes of Ovdei Kochavim, Yeshuvan, when they are rebuilt, Omer, Omer quotes over here from the Pasuk in Mishle, Beis Geyem Yisach Hashem V'yatzev Goma. That's the end, that's the beginning of the Pasuk. B'chorbanan Omer Kel Nekamos Hashem. So Rabbi, I say, if you see the homes of idolaters ultimately built, so then you say the beginning of that Pasuk, Beis Geyem Yisach Hashem. The house, the homes of the haughty, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu take away. If you see the homes of idolaters destroyed, you say, Kel Nekamos Hashem, Kel Mekamal Sophia. God is the God of vengeance, and he brings about his vengeance. Rabbi said, just to tell you something about this bracha, this is actually quite amazing. The Shulchan Aruch in Simen Reish Chav Dalid, Sif Yud, quotes this bracha, and he says, Yeshuvan, if one sees Jewish homes which were destroyed and rebuilt, Kigon B'Yishuv Vayis Sheni, for example, if you were living during Second Temple era, and you saw homes that were destroyed during times of the first Beis HaMikdash, and rebuilt during the Second Temple era, Omer Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Natziv Givul Amona. You say the bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who restores the portion of the widow. The widow being a reference ultimately again to Klal Yisrael, who were widowed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, and now the portion of the widow has been returned. So the Mishnah Brura comments on this. And the Mishnah Brura says, he says, Harav b'chorbanon, if you see these homes destroyed, then you say the bracha of Dayan Ha'emes. So the Mishnah Brura comments on this, and he says something quite amazing. First of all, he says it's not just any homes, but he says it's dafka the homes of rich people. So if you saw beautiful, elaborate homes which were destroyed and then rebuilt, you make this bracha Baruch Matziv Givul Amona. He then quotes the Rif. Now, interestingly enough, some say, even if you see these homes today, after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, so if you saw homes that were destroyed and rebuilt, grand homes, you say the bracha Baruch Matziv Givul Amona. Now, the Rif, Mishavar quotes the Rif, and the Rif says something dramatically different. The Rif says, Perush Bati Yishav Yeshuvan, Hainu Bate Knesios, Shemispalalin Besochan. The Rif says that when you say this bracha, when you go to a shul, when you walk into a shul that ultimately again was built, you say the bracha of Baruch Matziv Givul Amana. I will say, which think about the beauty of this bracha. So ultimately, again, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. If you see shuls that were built in the aftermath of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, you say, blessed are you, Hashem, who returns the portion of the widow. That the building of a shul in the aftermath of the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash is a quasi-nechama. The Amana, the widow of Klal Yisrael, has received part of her portion back. The full portion is not back until the third Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. But at the end of the day, when a shul is built, then at least that's a quasi-nechama. So the Mishnah Berurah comments on this, and therefore he says, V'cheinago ha'olam, shemivarchem al shari batim, ki al beis ha'kneses, kishera osa biyafya, u'bitikuna. And also, the Mishnah Berurah says, and the custom is like the Rif. We do not make this bracha on homes, we only make this bracha on shuls. And watch this. The custom of Yahu Rabbah, de'ein chilek bein eretz Yisrael, l'chutz laretz, v'afilu bizman hazeh. And the Eliyahu Rabbah says, there is no distinction between this bracha between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. And I make this bracha even Mizman Hazeh. When you see a shul being built, or you enter into a shul that has been built, you recite the bracha Baruch Matziv Givul Almana. Incredible. Now, Mishnah Berurah quotes opinion that says that because there's machlokes about this bracha, some say without the Shem Hashem. Same thing. But the Mishnah Berurah himself seems to clearly indicate that we don't really make this bracha over homes, we make this bracha over built shuls in Chutz Laretz and in Eretz Yisrael. Pretty incredible. So the Gemara says as follows, Ulav Rav Chista v'ka'azli b'orcha. Ulav Rav Chista were traveling on the way. Kimatu ha'pischa debe Rav Chana bar Chani loy. When they passed by the house, or what was the house of Rav Chana bar Chanilai, they passed by the ruins of the home of Rav Chana bar Chanilai. So Nagid Rav Chista ve'isnach. Rav Chista sighed. Amalei Ula, Amai kamasnachas. Why are you sighing? V'hamarav, Rav said, Anocha shoveres chatzu gufa shel adam. Sighing is very detrimental to one's health. When you let out a good krechts, ultimately, again, literally breaks the half the spirit of the body. Shnei Amar, V'ata ben Adam, Panach b'shiram basnayim. Rabbi Yochanan says it doesn't only just break half of the body. Af kol gufo shal adam shneamar vayok yomru elecha amata nanach v'amarta al shmuo v'namas kolev. Amarle. So ultimately, again, so Rav Chisda said, hechi lo isnach. How should I not sigh? Beisad the havuba shisin af yasa. So we'll say. So remember again, they are passing by the home. They are passing by the home of Rav Chana bar Chaniloi. So Rav Chisda sighs because he says this home was once the epicenter of so much beautiful activity. Rabbi said, listen to what used to happen in the home of Rav Chana bar Chaniloi. Beisad the havuba shisin af yasa b'yamama. There were always 60 people baking bread here by day. V'shisin af yasa b'layla. 60 people baking bread by night. And l'chol man ditzarech. Right? And anyone who needed bread, this was the place. Essentially, Rav Chana bar Chaniloi like operated like a soup kitchen. Out of his home, whoever needed anything to eat by day and by night was able to come to his home. Said, listen to this. V'lo shakal yada min kisa. Rav Chana bar Chaniloi never took his hand out of his wallet. The savar dilma asi ani bar tovim v'adamati le v'kise kamachset. Well, listen, why did he never? Because he was Rav Chana bar Chaniloi was incredible about tzedakah. What was he concerned about? See, I will say, sometimes you could have a person who came from a wealthy family, but then suffered some type of setback. So they both say, it's difficult for anyone to have to take a handout. But if someone came from wealth and now they need a handout, it's even more difficult for them to accept. Rav Chana bar Chaniloi always kept his hand in his wallet. Why? Because what happens if someone who came from a wealthy family but was now impoverished needed money and they had to ask, perhaps their embarrassment would have been exacerbated if it would have taken some extra time for Rav Chana bar Chaniloi to reach into his wallet and to take out the money. They say he always kept his hand in his wallet, so if someone would need, he would be able to immediately give them without delay. Incredible. Vesu, have a psichin le arba bavi le arba ruchsa. Da'alma. Furthermore, his house had four entrances, an entrance in every direction. And if you came in hungry, you left sated. And in times of famine, they would throw wheat and barley outside both by day and by night. By day, people could take it, and by night, whoever was embarrassed to come by day to take tzedakah would be able to go ahead and take tzedakah by night. And yet this home, which was once the epicenter of so much dramatic chesed activity, now it's fallen into a state of destruction. And should I not go ahead and sigh? Amarle, so Ula tries to console Rav Chisda. Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, b'yom shechara beis hamikdash nigzera gezera abatein shel tzadikim sheyichrevu. What can you do from the time that the beis hamikdash was destroyed? There was a gzirah decree on the house of tzaddikim that the house of tzaddikim should also be destroyed. Shneamar ba'ozni Hashem tzavakos im lo batim rabim l'shma yukidolim etovim me'ayin yoshev. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Asin HaKadosh Baruch Hu lachzir in the yeshuvan, but don't despair, because the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to rebuild his home, he's going to rebuild the home of tzaddikim as well. Shneamar shiramalos l'david abotchim b'Hashem kehar tzion. Ma har tzion asin HaKadosh Baruch Hu lachzir in the yeshuvan. Just like har tzion, the Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to rebuild. Af batein shel tzadikim asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu lachzir yeshuvan. So to the homes of the righteous will HaKadosh Baruch Hu rebuild as well. Chazye delo miyashev daite. But Ula saw that as much as he was trying to go ahead and lift Rav Chisda's spirits, it wasn't working. Amar le, dayo li evet shiyeki rabo. To which Ula said to Rav Chisda, you know what? The servant can't be any better than the master. And if the master of Kadosh Baruch Hu, the master of Kadosh Baruch Hu's house is in a state of disrepair, so again, how could the servant's house be in a state of repair when the master's house is in a state of disrepair? Incredible. Tan Rabbanon, Harua Kivi Yisrael. It will say, if one sees Jewish graves, Omer, Baruch Asher Yatzar Eschem Bedin, blessed is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who created you in judgment, V'zan Eschem Bedin, and sustained you in judgment, V'chilkel eschem badin, and supported you in judgment, V'asav eschem badin, and has collected you, in other words, took your life in judgment as well, or Simech HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you life, he took it away, V'asid la'akimchem badin, and ultimately, again, will bring you back, T'chias HaMesim, through judgment as well. So Marbrei Dravina added something in to this bracha as well. He knows the number of all of you, and he's going to bring you back to life, and to sustain you. Blessed are you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who brings the dead back to life. So we'll say, this is the bracha of Asher Yotzer Eschem Badin, and this is the bracha we say in the Beis HaKvaros to this very day. If you have not been to a cemetery for 30 days, so the halacha is when you enter into a cemetery, you recite this bracha that we call Asher Yotzer Eschem Badin. Interestingly enough, different Chavra Kadishas have different, or different cemeteries have different minhagim. Sometimes it's one person who says it on behalf of everyone. Others have the custom that everyone assembles says this bracha. But this is the halacha. We say the bracha l'asher yatzar aschem badin. Kivrei avdei kochavim. What happens if you see the graves of idolaters? Omer busha imchem. You say again the shortened form over here. You are an embarrassment to your mothers. Right? The idea is this is the akum. Right? Idolaters. Interesting. Rav Shimon Levi says, if you see your friend after 30 days, you haven't seen your friend for 30 days, Omer Baruch Shechianu V'kimanu V'gyanu L'azman Hazeh. Let's say, very beautiful. You haven't seen someone for 30 days, you can say the bracha of Shechianu upon them. Quite beautiful. L'yachar Yud Beis Chodesh, if you haven't seen your friend for more than 12 months, Omer Baruch Mechaye HaMesim. You say, blessed are you, Hashem, who has brought the dead back to life. So we'll say, there are different reasons for this. As you're going to see, look at the next line. Amarav, Ein HaMes Mishtachach HaMin Alev, Ela La'achar Shnei Masar Chodesh. Shnei Amar Nishkachti Kemes Milev, Ha'isi Kichli Oved. So Rav said, the dead are only forgotten after 12 months. Then we'll say, what does this mean? So the truth is, anyone who's lost a loved one knows, you never forget. The idea is, after 12 months, a person is able to sometimes take loss from their consciousness and be able to push it a little bit back to the subconscious. In the beginning, loss is first and foremost on my mind. As time goes on, a person is able to push loss a little bit back. That's what it means, that the dead are forgotten after 12 months. So I'll say, where do we know this from? So the Gemara quotes this pasuk over here from Tehillim. Nishkachti kimeis milev. Right, I forgot the dead from my heart. It was like a lost kli. So Rashi points out over here that just like a person despairs on finding a lost object after 12 months, right? If you lose a kli, you lose an object. 12 months go by, you pretty much give up hope of finding that object again. So to the dead are quote unquote forgotten after 12 months. Shabbos say, so now you understand the bracha. If you see someone for the first time after 12 months, you can say, Baruch Mechaye Mesim. Either it could mean that ultimately, again, after 12 months go by, you don't see someone, you forget about them, just like a person forgets about the dead, Baruch Mechaye Mesim, or the Maharsha quotes something beautiful. The Maharsha says that if you haven't seen someone after 12 months, then what's happened in the interim? Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. We'll say every Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there's a din of whether the person's going to live or going to die. You see someone after 12 months, you say, ah, Baruch Hashem, that the Ribbono Shel Olam inscribed you for Ksiva v'chasima tova, Baruch Mechayimis. And I will say, this is indeed codified in Halacha. You see a friend. Now I will say, by the way, the Halacha, if you look at Tosis points out to me, he says, Haroha chaveru l'achar shol shenyo omer shechiyanu, omeri dafka chaveru ha-chaviv alav, aval ben yinachar lo. You only say this after someone you like. Right? So I will say, right, you see a good friend. Ah, shechiyanu v'kiyanu v'kiyanu. Baruch Mechaye Mesim. This, you don't say this bracha for an acquaintance, right? Oh, you? Right? Anyone you would say, oh, you about? So ultimately, you don't say the bracha. Rav Huna Yeshua, we're walking on the road. Watch this. Pogu Bei Rav Chanina Breid Rav Ika. So they bumped into Rav Chanina Bei Rav Ika. Amru Lei, so we'll say, so Rav Papa and Rav Huna said to Rav Chanina, Bahadi de Chazinach Barchinon Alecha Tarti. Now that we saw you, we're going to make two brachas over you. Number one, Baruch Asher Chalak Michachmosa Liyreyav. Number one, again, the bracha that you make over Tamidi Chachamim, right? That blessed are you, Hashem, who has given from your wisdom to those who fear you, because Rabbi Chanina was a Tamid Chacham. And Shechianu. We haven't seen you more than 30 days. Say the bracha of Shechianu. Amar Lohu, Rav Chanina said back to Rav Papa and Rav Hanuna, Ana Nami Kevan de Chazasinu. Chashavtinchu ilai kishisin ribon beis Yisrael, ubarichna ilaicha tlasa Rabbi Hanina said, now that I say I'm going to make three brachas. What are the three brachas? Hanach Tarti, number one, Shechianu. Number two, Baruch Shechalach Michach Moshe Liyareyav. And number three, Baruch Chacham Harozim. The two of you are as special to me like 600,000 Jews. And what's the bracha that you make when you see a group of 600,000 Jews together? Baruch Chacham Harozim, blessed are you Hashem, who knows the secrets of all creations. So Rabbi Hanina decided that these two rabbis, Rapapa and Rafuna, were as important as 600,000 Jews, and therefore he said this special bracha, Baruch Chacham Harozim. Amrulei, Chachimas Kulei Hai, do you think you're so smart? Yav Be'inayu V'Shachiv. They set their eyes upon Rabbi Hanina, and he died. As they both say, meaning that what? They felt that Rabbi Hanina was exceptionally wrong for being so flippant about a bracha. We'll say, a bracha requires the use of the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as such, brachos are said under specific circumstances. The bracha Baruch Chacham Harozim is a bracha that is said dafka when seeing a group of 600,000 Jews. They felt that Rabbi Hanina was exceptionally inappropriate of his use of that bracha for two rabbanim. As much as it was a very nice compliment, very nice sentiment, you don't have the right to throw around brachas as you want. So we'll say now, the Gemara is transitioning to just a moment, to seeing strange things. So Rabbi Shimon Levi says, we'll say, Bahakonim literally are spotted people. Spotted people. So Rashi points out over here, Rashi says, that Bahakonim Kadoshim, people with some type of blotches on their skin. The Mishnah Berurah actually comments on this. It's people with very noticeable red blotches, where the pieces, the parts of the skin in between the red blotches are very white. So, Bakhanim, Omer Baruch Mishana Habrius. You say this bracha of, blessed are you Hashem, who creates strange creations. Which I will say is a bracha that essentially says, everything in this world is created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The things we understand, the things we don't understand, are all created by the Ribon Shel Mesvei, Ra Es HaKushi. If you see a Kushi, I will say, Kushi Rashi over here says, Shachar Harbe. So someone who is very black. Very black. So I will say, so I guess in the realm of skin pigmentation, which we know this, right? There are different. So you see someone who's exceptionally black. Ve'es ha'gichor, right? She says gichor is adam harbe, someone whose skin pigmentation is very red. Es halafkan ve'es ha'kapach. If you look at Rashi, lafkan sounds like an albino. Sounds like an albino. Lavan yoser midai. Kapach is someone who's just the. What's the, not ratios, what's the word, proportions, thank you. The proportions of his body are very off. Rashi points out that his width far exceeds his height. Just the proportions of the body are just off. Ve'es hananas, or someone sees a dwarf. Ve'es hadarnikos. Darnikos is someone who is covered with warts. Omer baruch mishana habrios. The bracha baruch shatners, when you see just someone who looks exceedingly strange, just different than everyone else, so you see the bracha mishana. Suppose what? Just so you understand, what's the hashkaf of this bracha? See, sometimes you see things and you say to yourself, that's such an aberration, right? That must have been a fluke. Something must have gone wrong. Rabbi said, there is nothing in this world that is a fluke. There is nothing in this world that has gone wrong. Everything that exists in this world is a creation of the Ribono Shel Olam. So if you see someone who just looks strange because you have a construct in your mind of what is normal, you accept the fact that there's nothing strange. It might look strange to me, but everything in this world was created by the Ribono Shel Olam. So I accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creative process or creative prowess in everything. So you say the bracha Baruch Mishana Bris, blessed are you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who creates different things. They're different because they look different, because I have my construct of what's normal, but these are your creations as well. Esakitea. So Esakitea is someone whose hands are amputated. Esasuma, blind person. Es pituye harosh. So also, interestingly enough, Rashi defines her pituye harosh sounds like some type of skull deformity where the hair is very matted down against the skull. Ves hachiger. Higer is ones with amputated legs. Ves hamukashchin, someone who's afflicted with boils. Ves habahakonim. Bahakonim again is literally spotted. individuals. Omer Baruch Dayana Emes. Now, both say, interestingly enough, the contradiction that Gemara is bringing down over here is beforehand you said by Bahakonim, who are people again with spotted skin, you say the Bracha Mishana Abrius. Here you're saying Dayan HaEmes. So what's the difference? So the Gemara is Lokasha, Hamimei Imo, Ha Basar Disyal. They both say it depends. Is it a condition that a person was born with, or is it a condition that a person developed later on in life? If it's a condition that a person was born with, you say Mishana Habrius. If it's a bracha that occurred later on in life, you say Dayana Emes. Dekanami Diktani Dumya Dikitea Shmamina. We'll say the raya to this ultimately is that it compares it ultimately to an amputee. So we'll say just like an amputee, the assumption is the thing that happens later on in life. If that happens, you say Dayana Emes. But if a person is born that way, you say Mishana Habrius. Tan Rabbanon. Haroa Peel Kof Vekafof. We saw this yesterday. If one sees an elephant, right, a kof, a monkey, or a kuf of kufaf, we described as a marten, right? In the weasel family, Amar Baruch Mishana Brios. These are all strange looking animals. So you say Mishana Brios. Ra Brios Tavos Vilanos Tavos. But if you see again beautiful creations, beautiful trees, Omer Baruch Shekacha Lo Ba'olam. You say, blessed are you, Hashem, who has created these type of beautiful creations in this world. So we'll say, so there are different brachas. Brachas for strange things, things that I will say, but I want to be clear, because sometimes you see this bracha of Mishana Brios, it sounds so strange. You're going to go over to him, he's going to say, Baruch Atah Shalom Kedemah Acholam Mishana Habrios. As you go over to someone, so first of all, obviously, you're not saying that bracha to the person, on the person. Come here, let me make a bracha on you. Right? You're like a Mishana Abrius type of digger guy. Right? So obviously, I'll say, but the idea is that it reinforces our emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the ultimate bore. Everything that exists in this world, whether it looks normal or abnormal to me, is part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan. So you make bracha on things that look strange to us, Mishana Abrius, and you make brachas ultimately again, a Baruch Shekach Allah Ba'olamo. When you see beautiful things, beautiful things, beautiful, beautiful people, and beautiful things, Shekacha Lo Ba'olamo. Bless you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created these things. We'll just two more lines, then we'll stop. Ala Zikin. On Zikin, you make a bracha. My Zikin. Amr Shmuel Kuchva Deshavit. So I say Kuchva Deshavit literally sounds like a meteor or a comet. Vamr Shmuel, Nihirinli Shvili Deshmaya Keshvili Denarda. Shmuel said, I know literally again the roads of the heavens, in other words, the roads of the constellations, like I know the roads of Narda. Bar mi Kuchva Deshavit Alo Yedana Mainihu. With the exception of this Kuchva Deshavit, I don't know what a kuchva deshavit is. So the Gemara says, "Ugmiri de lo over kisla." We know that the kuchva deshavit, the meteor and the comet, when it shoots through the sky, it never goes through kisla. Kisla was the name of one of their was what they named one of the constellations. The over kisla, for if the comet goes through kisla, chalav alma, the world will be destroyed. I have a haka chazina. So we'll say this is just their understanding of astronomy. Bahaka chazina da avar. But we see sometimes the comet does go through kisla. Zivahu da avar umischaziki da avar. It only looks like the comet is going through kisla. In fact, it's the light of the comet that's really going through kisla, but not kisla itself. Excuse me. It's the light of the comet that's going through kisla, but not the comet itself. Vilonhu demikrai demegalgal umechazin nahora dirakia. So it was interestingly enough, Rav Huna says that Zikin is in fact the light that occurs from the Vilon. When the Vilon, Rav say, in the celestial sphere, there are shivarakios, there are seven heavens, seven skies. So Vilon is one of the lower skies. When the Vilon is ripped, you're able to see the light of the Rakia. The Rakia is one of the higher celestial spheres. So this thing that we call Zikin is when the Vilon is ripped and you're able to see a higher light. Rav Ashi Amar, Kuch Vahu Da'aka Mehagisa, the Zikin is when there is a star that is taken from one side of the kis mehagisa the kisla the chazil echavre mehagisa. So what they say again, this is how they understood the cosmos. So it's when a star is taken from one side of kisla and its fellow on the other side of kisla sees it umivis and it becomes scared umichsi command davar and has the appearance ultimately like it's shooting through. Shmuel ramiksib Shmuel contrasted psukim on one hand it says osa ash ksil vikima uksiv osa kima uksil. Hakeit. That's Rabbi says. So again, the Sukkim are describing two different constellations, Kima and Ksil. So listen to this. Hakeit. Were it not for the warmth of Ksil, the world would not be able to survive because of the cold of Kima. And were it not for the cold of Kima, the world would not survive as a result of the heat of Ksil. So as I see, the idea being that, again, they recognize that the world is this balance. There are certain things that emit heat, certain things that emit cold, and were it not for the cosmic balance, ultimately, again, the world would not survive. Ugemiri, ilav uktsav de akrava de manach benar dinar, the Rebbe said, literally means, were it not for the tail of the scorpion, which also is a reference to the constellation of Kima, the Manach ben Ahar Dinor, which rests in the river of Dinor. So this is again all how they viewed the stars. Whoever was bitten by a scorpion ultimately again would not survive. Last line, Vahainu de Ka'amrli Rahman al Iov, and this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Iov, his kasher ma'adonos kima omoshchos ksil tepatach. Again, if the bonds of Kima were released or the shackles of Ksil were opened up, the world would not survive. People say this is part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's conversation with Iov, where Iov laments why bad things happen in the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, you don't know how I run the world. If there was any lack of balance between Kima and Ksil, the world would simply stop to exist. So we'll stop over here. We're going to pick up a bit more with Kima, Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow.